Who would like to lead a little grounding?
Is there a spotlight over anybody tonight, Sarah?
Do you
Well,
go ahead?
I was going to nominate Andrea. No.
No. What are friends for?
Becca said she had a wonderful session with you, Andrea.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, let's find ourselves on our seats and take some nice deep breaths. I'm letting go of any teacher-student mode, any fear of judgment. Just sink into your seat and realize you're loved. Let all tension melt from your head and your shoulders and your arms. And come on down into your chest, your belly. Breathing out any stresses, any anxiety. You really are loved. And find your hip bones.
Scott, how deep are you into what you're saying?
I'm in my hip bones.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sinking down, trying to feel my legs.
It looks like you're split. I'm just going to pause you here because you look like you're split between sensing the group and sensing yourself.
Maybe that is second nature, yeah.
Hey, you just shifted. Could you feel the difference?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I feel more lightness in the legs. And the soles of my feet.
Feel how you want to pop up and check the group?
Yeah. I'm like reminding myself that I have soles in my feet. Yeah. That there's safety. And I'm just with the sense of getting heavier and heavier. I'm not the one doing the work for the group. Starting to feel my calf muscles loosen up. And we can greet the spirit of the land. Mother Earth from our hearts. And then feel the roots coming down from the tailbone, soles of the feet. There we go. It's coming down to earth. And as you breathe and settle, the vertical axis starts to align. Time to time, we check back in with the soles of our feet. And our seat heavy on our chairs. And then from this place, we can greet the elements of earth and water. And fire. Air. And ether. And then the directions, beings of the east, west, south, and north, below and above. And maybe invite your tailbone to release a little bit. And feel your leg muscles.
So, Scott, we're going to have to close it up here. It's supposed to be a brief grounding. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you. Very nice. It's just that we don't have time for a half hour grounding here. That was 18 minutes, so... okay, so let's see. You're supposed to have 10 sessions done in your bio. Okay, and then we're going to have 5 more sessions and 5 more sessions. So you're going to have at least 20 sessions before the end here. So what is keeping people from Cindy and Andrea from getting the sessions done?
Oh, I can, I just say I'm just so distracted. And to really come back to center and feel the power of being in my center is just a big reminder just to come back. Major, things going on at home, which are always going to be going on. So it's just to live with what is and set a priority.
Okay, good. Yes, there will always be major things going on. Always.
Absolutely, yes. Yes, okay. We know. Thanks.
Okay, Cindy?
I have 3 possibilities to go. This will get me to 10. It's finding people. Cindy generously connected me with someone in California. We're trying to schedule a time. And I've got another person who is in school and trying to get it scheduled.
Okay, so we don't need to hear about that. Where's the block? What's happening?
I don't feel a block. I mean, I've got some major things going on that are very distracting, but I was actually feeling kind of like things that were happening that were upsetting were a way to get me to be more focused and have better concentration. I was able to really work and clear through that anxiety and be able to be at my grounded, aligned self during my sessions. So I was really, you know, there's a matter of finding people. If there's something I'm not seeing, I don't know what it is.
So the fact that you're not finding people would be a clue. So let's say I'm expecting to have clients and there's no clients. How would I adjust myself? What would I do? So everything you do, in this is a reflection of your energy in this world.
Right. What I was going to say is I would take some time to look at myself and see how I was feeling about things. Do I want clients?
Mm-hmm. What does it feel like when you ask yourself that?
What does it feel like? It feels like, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Is this what I want to be doing? And I've had some, you know, real positive experiences with people, but I still have that. I think there's this whole new level of respect for what you do and how you do it. And I want to say how you make it look easy, but I know better. I know how hard you work at this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, there's some questions like, am I capable of this? Is it too hard? Does it feel too hard? And so, and then I had a really good session today and then I wonder, hey, well, maybe I can do this, you know? And so, you know, those things kind of float around. I don't know that I'm the only one in the world that feels this way, but you know, those little questions pop in.
So what I would recommend is taking it from the perspective of you signed up for this class. A part of you committed to this class, to the what you're doing here, and whether you do anything with it after the class is over is a whole nother separate cycle. So there's no question about, should I be doing this? Can I be doing this? You're in it. you committed to it. So forget all that and do it. And don't worry about whether you're meant to be doing this or any of that. You may be going through this just for yourself. And you may not do anything with it like I did with massage school. I went through massage school, spent one day doing massage, and never did it again. But I wanted to learn the anatomy and physiology, which was why I did it. So instead of letting all that stuff swirl around you, go back to you were called to this for whatever reason, and you're doing it.
Okay.
Don't worry about the other stuff.
Okay.
Well, how does that feel when I say that?
Fine.
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm speaking to Cindy right now. I feel like I'm speaking to the student. What is it? What's a truer response?
I'm in it. I'm in this. I committed to it, and I'm going to do it. And they will come. If you build it, they will come.
Is anyone using a light list for clients? Practice sessions?
Yes.
Yes. That's fun.
Yeah.
No.
To attract?
Yeah.
To attract clients?
Well, it's not attracting, but it's putting it on your list so that the clients will be there for you, the practice sessions.
I have not. That's a beautiful idea. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Goodness. Yes.
Okay. So this is the kind of concentration one needs to do this kind of work. If you let yourself get entangled in all the insecurity, it'll take you down so fast. And yes, you'll be working your way through all the insecurities by doing the practice sessions, which is what they're for. But I'm saying if you get into that place where you're doubting yourself, that is a signal that'll go out. Okay, so so Cindy Rakow, what are your questions about your sessions at this point? Or let's start with you.
So I have questions. There were a few times this round where I had a moment where I felt disoriented. Like I wasn't quite sure where we were, which has never happened before. Mm-hmm. So, for example, the one session we were led through the process. We were transformed into the Merkaba. A portal opened, and I also get hazy what pronouns. I want to say we traveled through the portal and we were in the Hall of Records and she was offered a bit of information from past lives. But I had this moment where I wanted to doubt myself or where we were. But in that session, I said, no, just trust it, go with it. I know I'll be corrected, essentially. So I was able to relax back into it. I started getting what I think are visions of her past lives, and that was out of my comfort zone, which was okay. She was handed like a package of vibration to bring back with her. And I saw us travel back through the portal. I watched the portal close, and then the session went on. So that I feel good about. The next session.
Was she aware of where you were or not?
I was narrating.
Okay.
So yeah, I was narrating as we went along.
Okay.
And she was very grateful in the end that one of her questions was about her current life path and where she was with that.
And so the records help give information to support that? Her
that
question.
That was my sense, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And what we talked about at the end is, you know, I encouraged her to just see what dreams came up or what thoughts she had or where she was led next. The details of what she was handed did not seem important at the time.
Okay.
So the second time, same thing, and we went through the portal.
Oh, this was the same person? Wait. Another client?
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Different client.
Okay.
We were led through the portal again, and I was not able to relax into it as quickly, but it felt familiar, like we were back in the Hall of Records, and he was also handed information. And then we traveled on, and this is where I was doubting myself. What I said, it felt like we traveled to a dimension of vibration and light and spent some time there to receive the healing, and then we traveled back. So I guess my questions are twofold. One, am I correct in that I'll be corrected if I interpret what I'm seeing wrong? And two, is it we that travel through the portal together, or am I watching their experience at that point?
Okay, good questions. This is an issue of practice, and when you work with another person, just like when we work in a circle, the energies can be magnified, and I can go through certain periods where I'm learning about certain dimensions, you know, like it's a subject for a semester. Mm-hmm. And so you're getting direct experience of the Akashic Records right now. And then the sense of going through the portals to like the higher light healing dimension, which is wonderful. How that works out in your session, as long as the client is comfortable and it seems helpful to them. I mean, they might not even know how helpful it is ever or later, maybe. Mm-hmm. As long as you feel aligned with yourself, and you'll know. I mean, when you're in those dimensions and you kind of take a misstep, you feel it very succinctly. And so you'll self-correct there. Were the were the clients nicely grounded when you did this?
Yeah. We were both very grounded. And I was able to see as they went through each phase to get to the point where we traveled through the portal.
Okay, so your question was whether they were going through the expansion, huh?
No, I know that they were going through the expansion.
Were they aware of it? Were they aware of it?
Mm-hmm.
They were.
I was narrating.
No,
so yeah.
Were they aware of the shifts?
No, I do not believe so.
Okay, so you were basically channeling.
Oh, interesting. Channeling meaning, can you talk more about what that means to you?
Yeah, so when I'm in a session, I'm guiding the client to be at the same place I am. And finding the equivalent experience in their being to my being. Like, they might not know they're in that waterfall of light place, but I do say to them, well, what are you experiencing now? And they might say to me, oh, I just feel so relaxed and everything feels so lovely. And I will say, ah, that's the equivalent of where I am right now. So we are here together. This is your experience of it. This is my experience of it. So there's a difference there in how I work, not saying you have to work the same way, but I'm just giving you that as contrast. And then my second question for you is, are you feeding off their energy to get to that place?
So I know this, but I was more than ever aware of where my access was. And it was easier in the session because it was so structured versus around the dinner table with my family. I hope I wasn't feeding off their energy.
So if they were left kind of sitting there while you're narrating, do you know where they were?
I thought they were there with me.
But did you know if they were? How would you know if you don't talk to them?
I hear what you're saying. And I did at one point recognize that I ask for feedback far less than you do. And I see why you do that. It's very clear. As I went through the sessions, I started asking for feedback more. And they would say things like, oh, I feel so good. I feel so relaxed. I feel, you know, and so forth. I felt like I was narrating what was happening for both of us. But then that's the question. How do you know if they're, how would I know?
Mm-hmm.
Without asking. So, Sarah, each step along the way, you would pause and look for feedback then?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
So the question becomes, and this is something, so Cindy, you know how you took that suggestion about not leaning into someone else's energy and worked with it this past month?
Mm-hmm.
So we can be in a session with someone and kind of leave them behind using their energy to help propel us into another state.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something Let me see. To me, then, it turns into more of a psychic reading, a channeling, than a participatory session. Now, I'm not saying you have to have a participatory session. You're in the process of figuring out your style, which is, I trust you. I mean, you're not going to overstep any kind of really boundary in a bad way.
No.
And
no.
But I'm pointing some things out just for you to be aware of. Okay?
I see value in that. I want to know where I am and what I'm doing, absolutely. And like you said, if it becomes channeling, then I want full disclosure. There needs to be full disclosure for everyone involved what's happening.
Right. And sometimes I do end up channeling in a session and I say to the person, okay, the energy is going to shift right now because I'm talking to your dead mother or some guide's coming in and they want me to tell you something and I'm going to channel this. I'm transparent about it, okay? So, you know, the more experience you have, the more this stuff becomes apparent. It's not all black and white at all. And each person, each one of you is going to have your own way of doing this. So I'm kind of pointing out like ethical things and what you want to watch out for with your energy. So you'll be able to take it from here.
I have a question for a little more clarity, though.
Mm-hmm.
So listening to you talk, yes, there were moments where I felt like a guide was asking me to tell them this or that, which I'd never experienced before,
uh-huh.
But I did. And it was beautiful, and they were appreciative. When I say we were in the Akashic Records and I was narrating what was happening, was the other person being there, or was it me receiving the record?
It sounded like you were receiving them and channeling them to her.
Okay. So that's the difference. This was, I just wanted to be sure it wasn't me sort of blissing out on my own experience for my well-being.
Right.
This still was about her and benefited her.
Right.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay. Now.
And that's where you want to be clear what you're offering, a channeling versus a participatory.
Right. Now, this is where another subtle aspect of this. When you channel something for someone, it becomes something. Does it stay as an energetic download for them? In other words, are they receiving the full multidimensional message, or does it come through in a way where they receive it just with their mind?
Interesting. It's clear to me in this case it was an energetic download.
Okay.
I had no information about what they were. It was very clear, like, this is a packet of energy and frequency for them to take into their life.
And do you know if they took it, if they received it?
So two of the times after I traveled back to the portal. Is that the correct?
Mm-hmm.
Not we traveled back.
Mm-hmm.
If I was channeling, then I traveled back and they were given the vibration and I watched their energy being weaving. It's like they were weaving that knowledge into their energy bubble.
Okay. Now, were they aware of it at all?
Yes, I was. Well, I was telling them, but let's see. One time I asked them how they were feeling and they gave me very nice feedback. The other times, I'm sure I didn't. I was just narrating what I saw.
Okay, so it's a good thing to just check in,
mm-hmm.
so that it just, I mean, unless you want to become known as a channel,
mm-hmm.
Which is a possibility, okay, that
right.
that you just channel for people, or it's a big part of your work. But it's a good thing to keep checking back with them and seeing what their equivalent experience is of what you're experiencing.
So, Sarah, then each time they bring that through to sort of their conscious level, that almost draws their energy into the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
It also maintains the right power balance.
I could see that, absolutely.
Because that power and imbalance can happen very easily. And you know how people want to hear about themselves and be told things?
Mm-hmm.
And then you become the one who has the information. They're the ones who want the information. And it's really interesting what happens energetically with that power imbalance.
That is something I'm not interested in getting engaged in, that's for sure.
Okay. So mm-hmm. I know this is all abstract right now. Is everyone else following this?
Yes.
Yeah. Following it, yeah.
Okay. So when the power imbalance, it's interesting, when it really tips, you'll see that person shut down. They won't be able to receive what's being brought through. And then they're going to perceive you in one way. They're going to perceive you from a place of less, they're in less power and you're in more power. And when I'm done with the session, I want someone to feel they have more power, not less power.
Absolutely.
And you see how subtle this is?
I do. This was important. Thank you, Sarah.
Mm-hmm. This stuff's hard to talk about, but it's real. It's very real. Good. Okay. Scott, what about you?
Well, the earlier grounding brings up a good point. I will often have that sense of, oh boy, what am I up against? Which is not how you want to enter a session. But sometimes energetically, I do feel like I am putting out those feelers. Oh boy, like what am I up against?
Okay, just stop right there. Stop there. And uh-huh. What is that creating?
A barrier. Like there's an energetic conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And it also feels like little tears, tears in my own bubble, in my energetic field. It feels like there's holes in it.
Right. And so what would the people around you get? What would they receive with that thought that you're having?
Well, it's definitely not, it's not like a smooth feel to it. It'd be more of a staggered kind of jagged quality.
Think about what they're going to feel when they hear that feeling you have.
Like maybe there's something not perfect with them.
Mm-hmm.
Not okay.
Mm-hmm. They're going to feel judgment.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to feel fear, anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is another case. It's like you, like Cindy S. You can't allow yourself to split your consciousness and be half in fear and half not.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
It's a mess if you do.
Right.
So when you focus on yourself truly dropping down into your body and not splitting, how enjoyable is it for you?
Oh, it's very much enjoyable. My energy actually feels like it's circulating.
Okay. So then what's the message that the other people get?
Well, it's a lighter, smoother, happier feeling.
Mm-hmm. Do they feel judged?
No. Yeah, there's no judgment.
Right. So this is good that it came up during the grounding, so you can start working with that, playing with it, seeing mm-hmm. what you do with it. It really is kind of an anxiety thing, and it's hard to get over it. Not hard. You need practice to get over it, to trust, mm-hmm. you know, like you do with your Sunday night classes. You know, you trust that now. And then I will say there is a tremendous amount of heavy energy in this group tonight, as in all the groups right now, because it's a really hard time. Okay. Yeah, but it's not what you're up against.
Right.
And you can feel the difference in the frequency of coming from your heart, knowing that the higher love and light frequencies will help take care of this, versus the personal fear
mm-hmm.
of what you think will happen. And so there's that subtle shift of moving into that very totally grounded place, aligned,
yeah.
versus staying half and half.
Yeah.
You could call it half personal, half heightened. And you have to take the leap all the time to go full on heightened.
Yeah. Yes, last night's class brought this message through. I was like, oh my God, it's like a lifesaver. I was like, that started to percolate through me. I was like, okay.
You do know how to do this. I mean, you do. It's just those little tidbits mm-hmm. that pop up for you. But you just have to watch that you don't split yourself, because then you're splitting your power. Mm-hmm. And same thing with Cindy S. You're splitting yourself, and that just like, it kills you. I mean, it just drains your energy so badly that...
Yeah.
There's no room for that in this work.
Right.
There's a lot of light coming in now. So, did you run into any other walls in these sessions this time?
That probably was the biggest one. And I thank you and Cindy for the previous discussion, because it was funny, I found myself checking in more, but like the few times I didn't, like in one case it was, you know, I was checking in. I was like, oh, okay, now I feel that joy that's bubbling through. And then after the session when we were chatting, she was like, yeah, I really couldn't feel the joy. So it was like a direct commentary that I should have been asking her and not like indicating that there was joy to be felt. It was just, it was more of like, no, just continue being inquisitive and actually asking and listening.
Yeah, there's always an equivalency. It's not necessarily one-to-one. So you could be feeling joy, they could be feeling relaxation, you could be feeling happiness, they could just be feeling calm or ecstasy or something else. And you're right, the curiosity, but it's really interesting because if you make the point about the resonance, like I'm feeling this, you're feeling that, but we're feeling that we're each feeling it uniquely in our own way, actually teaches them to embrace their unique way of knowing and gives them the clue of, oh, if I'm feeling like this, then my energy must be flowing, or I must be doing something right energetically, even if I can't see it.
Yeah.
Okay. And so again, I'm always, and this may not be you, it may not be any of you, I am very keenly aware of the power balance, because it really is a collaborative experience for me. And so if their higher being is participating in this, I'm helping them understand how they're feeling and how that equates to their experience of their higher being or their heart or something like that. And I'm just so keenly aware of this power thing, because the old paradigm had this hierarchical power in it, structure, and the new paradigm doesn't. And so it's one of the things, one of the ways I teach that in a session.
That's beautiful.
It's subtle. It's a sense that you know, you can feel it. And so you may have your own creative way that adjusts in the session. It's, you know, it's like a balance board or something. You're just riding this, because the tendency is for people to give their power over to you. And how do you keep that from happening? Every time someone gives their power away to you, they are subtly resenting it. And it's not healing. Letting someone give their power away is not a healing act. And this is so hard to put into words.
Yeah, I can feel it. I hear that.
And it's actually hard to get someone to take their power back. That's quite a challenge. Okay, what else happened in your sessions?
Let's see. The other challenging part is if somebody wants a certain outcome or I don't know, I have a hard, I don't feel like I am the type of person to bring about a certain outcome. I'm just there to, you know, and so if the expectations, I find myself not conflicting within myself, but I'm like, again, maybe it's more of that, I start splitting. It's like, I'm like, oh no, like, this isn't how I would want the session to go. And like, how do I redirect? And so I probably lift up from my roots and get into my head whenever that occurs. Whenever I feel like someone wants a certain outcome or a certain path, I find that I start to leave my roots.
Okay. So there's 2 points for this. 3 maybe. 1, you're allowed to frame your sessions however you want to frame them. And my example always was at the very beginning, I knew I didn't want people who just wanted to sit down in a chair or lay down a table and have something done to them. And so from the very beginning, I always knew I wanted people engaged in their own healing. That was like a primary criteria, okay, for my work. Mm-hmm. And you need to set up your criteria. And if you don't want people coming and saying to you, I want you to fix me in this way and I want this outcome, you're allowed to say, I don't want those kind of people. I want people who fill in the blank. Fill in the blank now. I want people who are
into self-empowerment.
Ah. Didn't that feel good?
Yeah, that felt wonderful. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that sets the beam for the type of people you want to work with.
And that can make its way into like a bio or a description of the services. Like,
right. All right.
Yeah. Like clear. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then you can also say, and I say this to people, I'll ask them what they want because I want them to have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that whatever they think they're coming for is not necessarily what they're really coming for.
You're right.
And so I'll say to them, okay, let's put out on the table what you want, what you hope for from this session. And then I'll explain to them, you know, I'm going to follow your higher guidance and we'll see where we end up because this outcome that you want may come about in a way that you don't expect. And I'll use the example. I'll say, so someone will go to a doctor, Cindy, with a shoulder problem. And their shoulder problem may be a gallbladder problem and not a shoulder problem. But many orthopedic doctors, excluding the ones we know here, might not realize there's a relationship between the gallbladder and the shoulder. So I might end up telling you that you have a gallbladder problem when you came for a shoulder problem. Okay?
Right.
And I'll say that to them to frame the session so that they understand where we're going.
Wow. You're so good at communicating.
It takes lots of practice, lots of practice, and lots of mistakes. But so framing it, and I'm sure the words will come to you now that you've defined the type of person you want to work with. You really did it. You just like set your stake in the ground there right then. And so it'll be much easier for you. Okay. And speak the truth of what you know. It's okay. And if someone, like, I do medical intuitive sessions totally different than like a Mona Lisa Schultz does. I mean, she sits there with a picture of every organ and system in the body and says to them, you know, your liver's working 60%, your heart's working 80%, and gives them like a read, a barometer read on every one of her organs, of their organs. I don't do it that way. I'm involved in the whole multidimensional aspect of their being. And so you come with a shoulder problem, but I might find that it had something to do with your relationship with your mother, or when you were sexually violated and pushing away from the person. Yeah, there's like all this stuff that can come into a session. And then I'll say, okay, so we did this part. Let's see what happens now. Let's see how this session ripples through over the next couple of weeks with your being, and where you're going to end up with this. You know, and I offer them a way to be open with what happens in the session. Because it's very possible that we unearth something that had been kept as a secret, that was kept as a tension in the body that created the pain that she came with. And now that we open that up, she has opportunities for that pain to go away, or for new insights to come and be able to take steps towards that goal that she really wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I feel less wishy-washy, less doormatty,
Right. Yeah, this is the subtle stuff. This is that you're allowed to determine this, and then you set the stage. So you create the structure for the session.
Yes. All right, that makes sense.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Cindy, you want to go with one of yours?
Okay. I kind of been running my sessions similar with, my setup for my session, because I focus on their empathic nature. And, you know, I've told you that prior to sitting down with them, I haven't found a comfortable spot and think about what they might like to accomplish during the session. So when we start sitting together, we just have, you know, the little conversation at the beginning, getting to know, and then I'll ask them, when did you first realize that you were empathic? And that opens up what turns into a long conversation, mostly, and it's okay, because you find out what their experience as an empath has been, when they first noticed it as a child and how they're working with it now. So then what I'll do is I'll tell them we'll go through a deep grounding, and we go into the grounding. And I'll ask them, you know, what their goal is for the session. And 4 times out of 4 with the past 4 women that I've done, it's how do they set up boundaries? You know, what's the way to, you know, set up the boundaries so that they're not exhausted at the end of a conversation, you know, all this kind of discussion goes on. So I will, if I feel it's appropriate, I'm not clear still on when the higher being takes over. I just know that we're in a deeply grounded state and very aligned, and I may teach them one of the tools that you have taught us. Mm-hmm. And then I reinforce how that as an empath, they need to practice this grounded state. This is a protective state for them. And I refer them to your website where you have the 30-minute grounding meditation so they can practice that daily. And each person has taken that on and done that. And they'll talk about how I do ask them while we're doing the grounding how they're feeling. And I've gotten this feels great. This feels wonderful. Because I relax them first and we go through the deep thing and the spirit, connecting with the spirit and the elements and the direction. And then because I am and have always been like a nursing counselor, I do like to refer them to, I've referred them to a lot to your website and some of those things we've talked about, because one of the women that I worked with had a horrible relationship with a narcissist. And so her history, that was the one session that I just felt like was a conversation through the whole thing, because she just wanted to talk about her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Oh, no. Are you there? I can't hear anyone.
And I told them.
Cindy, wait. You dropped out. So the last thing.
I did?
Yeah. The last thing I heard, and it might have been my internet. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Now I can hear you. Okay.
I'll tell you, internet's just been something else.
Right. It has.
Okay. So the last thing you heard.
She wanted to talk the whole session.
That one woman really had lot of painful experiences and just wanted to talk.
And that is very therapeutic. I mean, don't discount that kind of session.
I do not. I truly believe that when in a circle, when someone's pain is witnessed, it's very healing. Mm-hmm. And that was how that session turned.
Good. And how did it impact you and your body and your consciousness?
Well, I'll tell you what. I have been very careful of talking through my toes and being aligned through my entire session.
Good.
And not only that, when I'm done with my session, I sit and do energetic hygiene for a while. I sit and clear and run the light. And just clear and clear. And then I know that if I feel physically good afterwards, I did a good job of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I have. The one thing that just it didn't pop into my head, but it's something that I've always known, is that these wonderful, warm women and our life experiences, how much we need to be witnessed, our pain needs to be witnessed and heard and like, yes, your life will go on. You are not to sit in the shame and the blame of this. I mean,
I'm going to pause you. Yeah. I'm going to pause you. Okay. Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah. I went overboard there.
No. No, you were speaking from your passion, of what you really like to do.
Yeah, and I noticed, I realized that too. Yeah.
What? Oh, okay. Go ahead. Yes.
My work with women.
Right. Yeah. And so the question becomes, mm-hmm. do you want to be the person who is just the witness and the listener? Or do you want to be the person who helps them raise their consciousness beyond their story?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it was just out of the one woman that was very talkative and just wanted to talk. Go ahead.
Right. I want you to really hear this, because right now your beam is aiming at people who just want to tell their story. And I think there's a discernment there, because I think if you got into that beam without defining what you really want to do, you would end up like you did after that last client or after New Orleans.
Oh, I don't want to end up like that.
So the question becomes, do you want to be in like the therapist, witness, listening role, or do you want to attract people who have done a little bit more work on this and are really ready to make a shift? Do you want to continue to be the person who witnesses and listens, or do you want to do something else? And what would you want to do?
That's the question.
So can you feel the old part of you wants to be the person who witnesses and listens? But what does the new paradigm part of you want to do?
Well, I want them to go beyond the story. Mm-hmm. I do want them to raise their consciousness. And I was thinking about that, and it's kind of, yeah, how do I make that? I feel like the relationship has to develop to do that. Does that make sense to you?
It does in the old paradigm way of being, but not in the new paradigm. You don't have to start out at the point of being the witness and the listener. They can have already done that work with someone else.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay.
I just want you to feel that in your being, what the difference is.
Okay.
There you go. What just happened?
I don't know. I'm just smiling. I've recognized in myself that the old paradigm's easy. It's the new paradigm that's to me is different and unknown.
Uh-huh.
And I felt that little twinge of anxiety about moving into that unknown place.
Mm-hmm. Which you are perfectly capable of doing. I want you to know the light's there. But that was a wonderful recognition. Now I want you to sense in yourself, do you really want to attract all those people and have a developing relationship which is all around the story, versus people who, like Scott said, are more empowered and ready to cultivate the depth of their empathic gifts?
Well, that sounds ideal.
Well, I would think about that if I were you.
It's weird. It's like I don't want to take that leap, but I feel like I should take that leap, and that's a student thing. That's an old paradigm thinking right there too.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta let that one work a bit.
Good. So that's why you don't have any sensibility about when the higher being's taking over the session, because you're not working with them at that level.
Okay.
So this is really fertile for you, okay?
Okay.
So this will take you to the next step here. I mean, if you ask your body, do you want to be sitting there all day long listening to people's stories? What does your body say? Yeah, you'd need a session with me every single day, right?
Right.
That's what you want to listen to.
Okay.
Okay. Andrea.
Yes.
have you done any sessions this month?
Well, yes. I had actually two contrasting sessions, and very much in the old paradigm, I'm trying to set up a relationship, not realizing that I could just go there, you know? So I can definitely see where I can, you know, take a leap. It would be a good thing. And to attract people that want to own their own power. That's mm-hmm. big.
So are you trained as a therapist?
No.
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 No, you're a massage therapist, well, right? A nurse?
Right. And a nurse, yeah. Uh-huh. And so the background with getting into, you know, kind of setting up a relationship first has always been that habit of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And not always obviously a good thing nowadays. So kind of to get in there and to be effective with the power of it and to really return it to the person, because what my deepest feeling is that when I'm in the source and then I realize how much the source is empowering me, then I'm hoping to show the student or the client that that's also their source
mm-hmm.
and their power. And that's, you know, that's the delight of the session, really.
Right, right. So both you and Cindy, coming from the yes. same kind of background, that kind of nursing yes. background of developing the relationship.
Sure.
Like I always say, I didn't have a nursing, you know, degree. I came with a communications master's, right, and an art background.
Right.
And there's like, that's really obvious. I'm not a therapist. I'm really mm-hmm. like not. And
that's
I don't want to
okay.
be. I don't want to
right,
be.
Right.
But there's a little bleed over from being a nurse into that
yes.
therapist type role.
Yeah,
and so
a huge bleed over.
And
yes.
so you both want to look at this. I'm not saying don't, but you want to take a look at this and see where you want to be on this spectrum.
Yeah, what a great light that is. Thank you.
Okay.
Big. Yes.
And especially if you're dealing with empaths, they can like suck the lifeblood out of you really quick because they don't know where their energy is going.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as you start working with empaths, their energy is all over you.
Right, right.
Right? And
yeah.
so you have to watch out for that. That can be very draining.
Very, yes.
Okay.
And that is one of my, you know, foregone conclusions. I don't want that. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I would spend both of you some time thinking about the type of client you want to attract.
Mm-hmm. Clearly. Yeah. And even getting out of the hospice mode of you know, the person that's dying even, and what that is as far as, and leaning into it. I was so much into that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. No wonder I was just so wiped out. So, mm-hmm. I mean, wow. What a, you know, yeah, it really dawned on me big time.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
So let's make that the assignment. Besides five more sessions, that you define who you want to attract, each one of you.
Yes, I will.
And get it down on paper. And
put it on your light list.
Right. Okay. And so this will help you refine your beam, as I'm calling it, in terms of you get to choose. You get to have the perfect clients.
Hmm.
Whoever is your perfect client, you get to have them.
Wow.
Wow. Really?
Seriously.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, nice. You do. You just have to declare it, intend it, and know it in your heart that that is where your work lies.
Mm. Very empowering.
Okay. And it's it's got to be for you and them. It's a combo. It's not about serving and sacrificing.
No, gifts each way.
Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Man, that feels good. Thanks.
You're welcome. This is good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 15 sessions by the next time we meet. More if you want. Don't let that's minimum. Define how and who you want to work with. You could have 15-minute sessions. You could have two-hour sessions. They don't have to be an hour. They don't have to be this. They don't have to be that. You can... and you know, when you sign up for a session with me, you get a audio recording that says, please do this grounding before the session. You can set things up like that for you.
Yeah.
And I would say about 3/4 of the people actually do the the grounding audio before they have sessions with me. Makes things a lot easier. Then you can start dealing with some of the tech issues.
Big ones.
God. But think about that. Start thinking broader and talk to yourself. Listen, ask for your guidance about where you need to land now. It doesn't mean you're going to stay in this one place. You'll grow. The clientele will shift. But definitely don't do it out of old habit.
Yes.
Okay. Other questions?
No, I'm good.
Are we all good?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very much.
Oh, okay. So, Scott, you have to do a bio. Andrea, full sentences.
Yes.
Redo that bio.
Okay. Gotcha.
Cindy and Cindy, you did beautiful bios.
Thank you.
Put them up on the page on the, you know, so other people can see them.
Okay.
And you know, as you sit with them, they might adjust or whatever, but they're really good to begin with. Okay. And the process of writing it, it's not that simple, is it? I mean, you go through something writing that bio up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Onward.
Thank you. Yes, onward and upward.
Downward.
All right. There you go.
Inward. Okay, yeah. My friends, very good.
Downward and inward.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.